most people, these are going to be challenging or difficult parables to understand. The people of Jesus' day would have had a little bit of a more easier time understanding them because Jesus was speaking in ways that they could understand in their lives. But, you know, what do we make of the fact that Jesus would say in the parables that we hear today to praise the dishonest steward for acting prudently or wisely, or even more shocking, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth? Well, we can conclude that Jesus is really talking about money here. But what is he really saying about money? Is it good? Is it bad? Well, we know, as Jesus did and the people of his time, that money is really a neutral thing. It's how we use it that makes us responsible or not. And we all know that money can corrupt, but it can also be used for great things. You know, we think of all the charities in our country alone that are reaching out, nonprofit organizations trying to make the world a better place and more people more comfortable in it, especially the poor. They're doing great things with the money that we give them. On the other hand, we have terrorists around the world and terrorist groups who are spending thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to kill innocent people for their own political reasons. You know, if only they would use that money to help the poor and the suffering in their own countries, what a better world this would be. And so Jesus makes the point that we must remain unattached to wealth and money and power and not let it control us. Because as Jesus says, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot have two gods, God and mammon, mammon being the old Hebrew word for money. So today, I was thinking about this parable. I was trying to think of an analogy, or not today, but last week. And in July, we celebrate my nieces and nephews' birthdays. They're all kind of in the summer months. And so instead of having a birthday party every single weekend, my brothers and sisters decided, well, let's just all just pick a weekend right in the middle and we can get together and it'll be like Christmas, you know, in a sense. We'll celebrate all the birthdays together. They can open their presents and whatnot when we get together with our larger family. And so that's what we do. And because we're covering three more parishes, at least till October, as you know, Father Schuster and I, there wasn't a whole lot of time to go out and shop off their lists and find the particular presents that they wanted. And so I decided, well, this year, because the summer is so busy, we're just going to have to do gift cards. And I was a little bit worried about that, especially with my younger nieces and nephews. Yet they wouldn't actually have a present that they could open from me. And how are they going to handle that? Would they understand the idea of a gift card? That, yes, you don't get something right away, and you may even have to surrender that gift card to mom and dad on your special day so you don't lose it. That might be kind of traumatic. But that you can get something later that you really like. And I thought, gosh, am I going to have to explain this to them as they're crying and mad at me for not getting them a present and whatnot? So I handed out the cards as they were opening their presents that day and getting ready to explain it, and only to be pleasantly surprised that they already understood gift cards. They already understood, even at their young age, that, oh no, this can be exchanged for goods and services. This can be exchanged for something that I really like. And even though I don't have something right now today, this is gold. You know, and yes, mom will take me to Targets during the week, and I can pick out something that I really, really like. And so I was really happy that they understood that. I didn't have to explain it, so the birthday party went off just fine. But I couldn't help but thinking, even in their little minds, you know, how likely were they to go to the store with their mom with their gift card and actually maybe share it with their brothers and sisters? Very unlikely to happen. because they're not in that mindset yet. And so it's something that, as you know, good parents have to do. We all do with our children as we explain them what charity is and how we can use money in a responsible way as a responsible steward, you know, just like the steward that we hear in our parable today. However, the difference was the steward today wasn't a very good one. And so he was panicking. He knew that he had gotten lazy, had mismanaged his master's funds, and so justly he was going to be fired. So he panics and calls in his master's debtors and says, listen, how much do you owe? You owe 100 of this or 100 of that, cut it in half. This way he was making sure that when he walked out that door after being fired, that he had a few friends. They could go knocking at their house and maybe say, hey, can I stay with you for a few days? Do you have any work that I can do? And so Jesus is not praising the steward's dishonesty today, but he's praising his initiative, his energy in planning for his future, his prudence, so to speak, because as he said, he was going out knowing what was going to happen to him, to try and create a secure future for himself. And so Jesus' message today really is this. As many people work hard and spend countless hours and energy to ensure the security of their future, we as Christians should work equally hard to ensure our spiritual well-being, especially through our prayers and through our works of charity, being good stewards. Jesus points out the initiative and energy of those who are consumed in our world with dishonest wealth and making as much money as they can and hoarding it all to themselves. And he asks why that his followers don't have the same energy and initiative in pursuing their own relationship with God through prayer and through loving service to our neighbor. We get that here, or we wouldn't be here today, but there are many out there that do not. And so Jesus, through St. Paul, puts this challenge before us today to be good stewards and to start by asking that supplications, which are pleading prayers and petitions and thanksgivings, be offered to God for everyone, but especially for those who are in authority, who govern us, that they may provide through their leadership a just leadership so that we can have a quiet and tranquil life, as St. Paul says, in all devotion and dignity. And so prayer and charity, as we know, are so much needed today, just like they were in yesterday and yesteryears. You know, we look around the world today and we still see many victims of injustice, much suffering that is still out in our world and in our country today. And we still always want to keep in the front of our minds the poor and also a respect for all human life at all stages and for Christian marriage. And we also want to pray and support our church. And so today, let us continue to accept the challenge that Jesus gives us to use our energies, our resources, and prayers to help those who are truly in need. And if we are already doing that, well, blessed are you, for that is exactly what God desires of us. And these prayers and acts of charity will continue to, of course, draw down his grace and blessing upon us all.